Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, November 9th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. We will be reading Acts chapter 15 verses 1 through 21, Psalm 11, and Nehemiah chapter 2. Acts 15, beginning in verse 1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the brothers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe that it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things that have been known for ages.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." And now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 11. This psalm begins by reminding us that God is a refuge. And I love this image. I love to think of God as the one in whom I can find security and safety, the one that I can cling to and I can go to in times of need, and also the one that is a hiding place for me. For the director of music of David, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain'? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face. And now let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. Remember with me that the book of Nehemiah is actually a combo book with the book of Ezra. So this is a story of how the exiles who are returning to Jerusalem rebuild the temple, and then they rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and also the town of Jerusalem. And it spans many years. And so today we pick up in Nehemiah's story, and Nehemiah is actually the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. Now Artaxerxes is the fourth king that we've seen in these stories, I believe. We started with Cyrus and then Darius and then Xerxes, which would have been Esther's husband, and now Artaxerxes, which would be Esther's stepson. Remember with me that yesterday we learned Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king. So he's the cupbearer for Artaxerxes. And today we pick up in chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked him, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy." And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officials and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any other who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I loved how it said in Nehemiah here that I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. What is it that God has put in your heart to do for his kingdom? Do you think it's just a pipe dream? Do you question whether it was really God that put it in your heart? I mean, these are possibilities, but I just want us to ponder that today. What is it that God has put in our heart to do? And as we think on these things, I want us to ask God for the ability, the boldness, the resources that we need in order to be able to accomplish a good work by the power of the Holy Spirit and our risen Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you very much for my brothers and sisters who are contending alongside for the sake of the gospel. We are reminded from the book of Acts that you are doing a great work in all peoples. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a part of that. We pray, Lord, reminding ourselves that you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our ever-present help in times of need. And we need to confess before you, Lord, the ways in which we are doubtful of your promises, the ways in which we are not trusting in your word. And perhaps, Lord, we need to repent of busyness and of the stress that ensues when we do not take the time that we need to recenter and refocus on you and your word and your spirit at work in us. Please, Lord, by the power of your spirit, enliven us, help us, teach us from your word, and give us a good work to do from the heart of God. Put something in our heart that we can do that will help others flourish even today. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of my brothers and sisters, for the reminders of your goodness through them. Today, may we see Jesus in the face of every person we encounter. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.